Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the
Shalom Aleichem to all my white, Christian, pure-blooded Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is Word for Word for Thursday, August 11th, 2016. And we're going to be covering Exodus chapter 33 and probably 34. 33 is a very short chapter. Covered yesterday all the story about the golden calf and Moshe breaking the tablets and, that were made by Yahweh. So this picks up again with the continuing story of following that debacle. Chapter 33, verse 1. And said Yahweh to Moshe, depart and go up there, you and the people which you have brought up from the land of Mitzrayim unto the land which I swore unto Abraham and to Jacob, saying, unto your offspring I will give it. Verse 2. And I will send a messenger before you, and I will drive out, that's one word, 1644, the Canaani, the Amori, the Chiti, the Perizi, the Kiwi, and the Yebusi. Now that's the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. If you're using a KJV, so you'll understand who I'm talking about. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might consume you on the way. Well, he's going to send a messenger, what the churches call angels, but he's a messenger. Verse 4, and when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. 56, and no man put his ornaments, 5716, upon him. Verse 5, because had said Yahweh to Moshe, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people, I will come into the midst of you for one moment, 7281, and consume you. Therefore put off your ornaments from you, so I may know what to do to you. Because ornaments were a sign of pride, gold bracelets, like guys wear gold chains today and big rings, and women wear all kinds of fancy jewelry. They took everything off. Took it all off. Because they didn't want to appear proud before Yahweh. They humbled themselves. Verse 6. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb, 2772. Verse 7, and took Moshe the tent and pitched, 5186, it outside of the camp, far off from the camp, and called it the tent of meeting, which was outside of the camp. This is the tent that we described being constructed, and it was called the Tent of Meeting. Ohel Moed, Tent of Appointment, the appointed times, the appointed time for meeting, so it was called the Tent of Meeting. Verse 8, and it came to be, when Moshe went out to the tent, that all the people rose up, and every man stood at his tent door and looked after Moshe until he had entered the tent. They were afraid at this point, because they, after all the plague and the killing, and man, they were humbled temporarily. Verse 9, and it came to be, as Moshe entered the tent, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tent and spoke with Moshe. Verse 10, and saw all the people, the cloudy pillar, stand at the door of the tent, and all the people rose up, and every man in his tent door bowed low. 7, 8, 1, 2. Verse 11, and spoke Yahweh to Moshe face to face, not literally, because he couldn't see his face, but this is describing intimate personal communication, as a man speaks to his friend. And he returned to the camp, but his servant Yahshua, the son of Nun, stayed in the tent. Verse 12, and Moshe said to Yahweh, see, you say to me, bring up these people, and you have not let me know who you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my eyes. Favor is 2580, that's grace. Not a New Testament term, an Old Testament term. Verse 13, now therefore, please, if I have found favor in your sight, make me to know your ways, that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your eyes, and see that this nation is your people. This goy is your people. Doesn't mean non-Jew. He's talking to Israel. Talking about Israel. The goyim, the nations of Israel. Verse 14, and said Yahweh, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. 51:17. And said he to Yahweh, if your presence does not go with me, do not carry us up from here. Verse 16, for how shall it be known here that I and your people have found favor in your eyes? Is it not that you go with us? So shall we be set apart. 6:3-9:5, I and your people, from all the people that are on the face of the land? Verse 17, and said Yahweh to Moshe, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for you have found favor in my eyes, and I know you by name. Wow. Intimate relationship with Yahweh. His chosen man, Moshe. Verse 18, and said he, please let me see your glory. Verse 19, and said Yahweh, I will make all my goodness, 2898, pass before you, and I will proclaim, 7121, that's to call out, to give voice to, I will proclaim the name Yahweh before you, and I will be gracious, 2603, to whom I will be gracious, and will have compassion, 7355, upon whom I will have compassion. He's going to choose. Not us. He's going to choose. Verse 20. And said Yahweh, you may not see my face, because there shall no Adam see and live. They specifically refer to Moshe here as an Adam, an Adamic person. He was a white man. Verse 21, and said Yahweh, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand upon a rock, 6697. Verse 22, and it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in a cleft, 5366, of the rock. That's a crack in the rock, big crevice. And will cover you over with my hand while I pass by. Verse 23, and I will take away my hand, and you shall see my hinder parts, 268, but my face shall not be seen. Wow. That's how close he was to Moshe. He's basically in chapter 33 telling Moshe to move on toward the final destination, which is to be in the land of the Canaanite. And he says he will send a messenger with him, but he will not be among them because he's still angry after the golden calf. And jewelry is a sign of pride, so Yahweh tells him to take it all off. They made that calf out of their jewelry. Moshe continues to act to appease Yahweh, as the chosen people are only seen as set apart because of Yahweh's very presence. And if he wasn't with them, they'd just be a bunch of tribes walking through the wilderness. What makes us special is Yahweh. Yahweh makes us special. Yahweh is our divine being. So Yahweh relents a little bit after this, and Moshe requests to physically see him, and he's only get to see a little bit of it. Now, in this chapter, verse 1, you can reference Genesis 12, 7, 26, 3, and 28, 13. And verse 19 of chapter 33, you can reference Romans 9, 15. All right, in 32, Moshe broke the original tablets. So here we begin chapter 34, verse 1. And said Yahweh to Moshe, hew you, meaning Moshe, he has to make them now, two tablets of stone like the first ones. And I will write upon these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Yahweh's going to write again on the tablets, but Moshe has to make them. And he's going to put the 10 words, in other words, the 10 commandments, on the second set of tablets, because they were going to go in the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 2, be ready in the morning and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present yourself there to me in the top of the mountain. Verse 3, and no man shall come up with you, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mountain. Neither let the flocks or the herds feed before the mountain. Because his presence, Yahweh's presence, would be lethal. We are so imperfect, we couldn't stand to be in his presence. Only Moshe he preserved. It's just too much. And that's why he came here as Yahshua, an earthly manifestation in the body of an Adam, with the Holy Spirit, descending on him like a dove. Whew. Awesome. Verse 4, and he hewed two tablets of stone like the first ones. And Moshe rose up early in the morning and went up into Mount Sinai, as Yahweh had commanded him, and took the two tablets of stone with him in his hand. Verse 5. And Yahweh descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of Yahweh. He called it out. Verse 6, and Yahweh passed by before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, El, 4:10, merciful, 7:3, 4:9, and gracious, 2:5, 8:7, long suffering, 7:50 and 6:39, that means long of nose. But it's used in an idiomatic form, and it means long-suffering. And abundant in kindness, 2:6, 1:7, and truth, 5:7, 1. Verse 7, keeping mercy, 2:7, 1:6, for thousands. Forgiving, 5:3, 75. That means to lift up from upon. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will by no means clear, 5:3, 5:2, the guilty. That clear means to find innocence. To find someone innocent that's guilty. Visiting, 6:4, 8:5, the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth. Now this is generation. I have in italics. So now when he's talking about visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, he's talking about those that hate him, not those that love him. The pagans, the people that deny him, that worship other Elohim. Those in Israel that sin against him deliberately and disrespect him. He's not talking about the righteous people. Oh, I made a mistake. Well, he's not going to punish third and fourth generations. He's talking about the ones that go into paganism and apostasy and keep repeating it, and their whole family goes bad. That's who he's talking about right here. So, people need to understand that, being clear. Verse 8, and Moshe made haste and bowed his head toward the ground and prostrated himself. He fell on his face in worship. Verse 9, and said he, If I have now found favor in your eyes, O Yahweh, let Yahweh please go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. 5:1-5:7. Verse 10. And said Yahweh, behold, I make a covenant, 1:2-8:5, bereath. Before all your people, I will do wonders, 6:3-8:1, such as have not been done in all the land, nor in any nation, and all the peoples among which you are shall see the work of Yahweh. For it is an awesome thing. That's one word, awesome thing. 3:3-7:2. That I will do with you. That's the people as a whole, all of Israel. Verse 11. Observe, 8:1-8:4. In other words, keep, observe, obey. That's what 8:1-8:4 means. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I drive out the Emori, the Kanani, the Hitti, the Perizi, the Kiwi, and the Yabusi. Here's a warning. Pay very close attention to this. Verse 12. Guard yourself. And that's 8:1-8:4 again. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a trap. 41:70 in the midst of you. Let's stop right here. We have made a covenant with the sons of Edom, who have mingled with all the Kanani and the seed of Canaan. And they have made a trap in the midst of us. It is called usury, international banking, the use of the Babylonian Talmud, the perversion of Christianity into Judeo-Christianity, which teaches Talmudic Christianity, and has twisted and perverted the word of Yahweh in so many ways that we are no longer worshiping in the pure and proper manner. They have changed the names, they have changed the wordings, they have changed the teachings, and yet we allow these people to rule over us. That is going to come to an end shortly. Because true Israel is waking up. And we are going to break away. And Yeshua, our Messiah, is coming back. And they will be utterly destroyed. Let's go on with the rest of their commandment. Verse 13. But you shall tear down. 5:4-2:2. Their altars, break, 7:6-6:5, their sacred pillars, 4:6-7:6, and cut down, 3:7-7:2, their images of Asherah, 8:42. Asherah, also known as Ishtar, goddess of fertility, for Ishtar Sunday, which they celebrate with the fertility symbols of the bunnies and the Easter eggs. That's done in Judeo-Christianity. They celebrate Ishtar Sunday and call it Easter. 14. For you shall bow down to no other El, 4:10. No other divinity. Mighty One. For I, Yahweh, whose name is Jealous, 7067, is a jealous El, capital E, L, divine being, mighty one. 15. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land and they go a-whoring. That's one word, go a-whoring, 2181. After Elohim, after their gods, and do sacrifice to Elohim, that's their gods, and one of them calls you, and you eat of his sacrifice. Well, come on over and party with us. We're going to have a pork chop. Okay. Verse 16, and you take of their daughters unto your sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after Elohim. Different spelling, but there means their gods. And make your sons go a-whoring after Elohim. That's speaking about race mixing, brothers and sisters. Race mixing. Verse 17. Alohe of castings. 4541. You shall not make cast images, carved images, saints in the Catholic Church that they pray to. Jesus up on the cross. You know where that image of Jesus came from? That was Michelangelo's gay lover. Michelangelo was a homosexual. And he had a baron or a duke or something like that. And he was lovers with that guy. And he painted the picture of supposed Christ and used his queer lover as the model for the painting, and the Catholic Church adopted it, and all these images that you see are images of that faggot. Surprise, surprise. Faggot on a stick. That's not the Messiah, that's some queer. Verse 18, you shall keep the feast of Matzot. Now, Matzot is unleavened bread. 7 days you shall eat Matzot, as I commanded you in the month of Abib. That's a month of greening when the barley ears are green. Because in the month of Abib you came forth from Mitzrayim, that's Egypt. All that opens the womb, 7358, is mine. And every firstling, 6363, among your livestock, 4735, whether ox or sheep, that is male, 2145. 2145 can be used for animals or humans. The same way Ish, 376, can be used for animals or humans. It is gender specific. Verse 20. But the firstling of an ass you shall redeem with a lamb, because the ass was a work animal and vital to their survival. They would sacrifice the lamb. And if you do not redeem him, then you shall break his neck, 6202. He was to have his neck broken. And the ass was not clean. for sacrifice. So they couldn't burn him on the altar, but you had to kill it. 6202. But everybody with any sense that had their donkey there, they used him as a pack animal, a work animal, and just everything else, hauling logs and everything else. They redeemed him, gave a lamb for sacrifice instead. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem. None shall appear before me empty-handed. That's 7387. That firstborn son would be dedicated to Yahweh, because he was going to have the birthright of your household. And he was to be raised learning Yahweh's laws. And he was to carry on the tradition of the family in worship to Yahweh. That's why the firstborn son was so important. Verse 21. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall cease from work. 7673, one word, cease from work. In earing time, 2758, and in the harvest, 7105, you shall cease from work. Doesn't matter when. On the Shabbat day, you stop working. It's not a suggestion, that's a commandment. Verse 22, and you shall observe, that's 8104, again, to keep. Observe, obey the Feast of Weeks of the First Fruits of Wheat Harvest and the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year. Verse 23, three times a year all your male children, 2138, shall appear in the presence of the Lord. 113, that is Adon, that is a title, in the presence of the Lord Yahweh, Elohe Israel, the divine being of Israel. That is not Baal, that is Adon. Verse 24, it could be the master. It's also used as master. Verse 24, I will cast out the nations before you. Now he's referring to the pagan nations here. And enlarge, 7337, your borders, 1366. And no man shall desire your land when you shall go up to appear in the presence of Yahweh Elohecha three times in the year. In other words, you are to go up, and Yahweh's going to protect your land. Nobody's going to come in and take over if you go to worship. Yahweh will smite them. Verse 25, you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, 2557. Okay? That's not to happen. You're not to have leaven with the sacrifice. And that word is chametz, 2557. And the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover shall not be left until morning. Not Easter, the Passover. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of Yahweh Elohecha. Verse 26, you shall not boil, 13:10, a kid in its mother's milk. Now that passage has been perverted by the rabbis, and they prohibit the eating of milk and meat in the same meal. You can have one or the other, dairy products or meat. Doesn't say that at all. That's something they made up again. Verse 27, and said Yahweh to Moshe, you shall write these words, because upon, 5921, the speaking, 6310, that's literally the mouth, but it's used as speaking idiomatically, of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Now this is impressive. Verse 28. And he was there with Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights, and he did not eat bread or food, whatever way you want to translate that, nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10:6235 words, 1697. Now Yahweh wrote them on there. Moshe did not. That's a capital H, he. Verse 29. And it came to be, when came down Moshe from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of covenant in Moshe's hand, when came he down from the mount, that did not know Moshe that the skin, 5785, of his face shone, 7160, while he talked with him, capital H, him, Yahweh. Verse 30, and when Aharon and all the children of Israel saw Moshe, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they feared to come near him. They scuttled away, because they were afraid. Another sign from Yahweh. Whew. Verse 31. And called Moshe to them, and Aharon and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him and talked Moshe with them. He had to call them and say, come here. And they sort of edged over toward him because they were afraid. I mean, the guy comes back down with speaking with the Creator personally. He lit up like a neon sign. Yeah, they were scared, I guess. Verse 32, and afterward all the children came near, that's the children of Israel, and he gave them in commandment 6680 all that Yahweh had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. He didn't give them suggestions. He didn't say it might be nice if he did this. He gave them a direct commandment from Yahweh. So Yahweh spoke to the people of Israel through Moshe. Verse 33, and he put a veil upon his face until he was done speaking with them, because they were terrified. Verse 34. But went in Moshe to the presence of Yahweh to speak with him. Now he's talking about going into the tent of meeting where Yahweh was going to manifest himself in that big cloud. He took the veil off until he came forth. And he came forth and spoke to the children of Israel that which he was commanded. Verse 35, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moshe, that the skin of Moshe's face shone, and put on Moshe the veil again upon his face until he went in to speak with Yahweh. So every time he went into the tent of meeting to get commandments and instructions, not only did his face shine when he came down from the mountain, but every time he went to talk with Yahweh, who was amongst the children of Israel in that holy tent of meeting, his face shone. Yahweh instructed people not to come on the mountain or livestock because of his presence. And Moshe goes up and Yahweh proclaims his name, and Moshe's overwhelmed and just falls down in worship instantly. Moshe cries out the holy name twice and begs for mercy for Israel. Yahweh agrees and he tells Moshe all the things he will do. He gives strict commandments not to deal with the pagan people around them. And now we're bringing pagan people in amongst us. Israel is to destroy all the pagan worship sites, and they're building pagan worship sites in our land, Israel. The magic carpet folks that worship a false god are building their places of worship in among us. They've got Bohemian Grove to Molech out there in California. What's wrong with this picture? We wonder why we're being punished. And he told us not to do these things. Don't do this. And he pleads for us, you know, that we're stiff-necked. Well, are we any less stiff-necked today? Are we? Truly? When we have gay pride marches, hookers on the street corners, drunkenness, drug use, homosexuals, pedophiles, rape by Muslim rape gangs, mixed race marriages, the Talmudization of our churches, idolatry with literal idols in the Catholic churches. I mean, is it any wonder that we will have all these problems that we were warned we would have. I am not astonished at all this stuff going on. Really, I expect all these things, all the worst. It's gonna be bad, and it's gonna get worse. Oh, what can we do? What can we do? You can get your personal life right with Yahweh's laws. You as an individual, because you can't really control anybody else. They're going to do what they're going to do. You as an individual Israelite need to start being obedient. And if we add people like that one by one, and you find others around you that believe, and assemble in an assembly with them in obedience, you will be protected. You will not be erased from the book. Many of our people will be erased from the book. We're only going to have a remnant. And like I have told people, if I do all these broadcasts and I only reach one Israelite there, one Israelite that listens and starts to obey, I've won a major victory for Yahweh. I'm not doing this for me. I get nothing out of this except the love of Yahweh that I feel all around me and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. I don't get money. Nothing of this world comes to me. I don't do it for this world. I do it for the next world. I do it for you because I care about you. And a lot of these people hate me. Oh, they hate me because I tell the truth. Well, if they hate me, they hate my Redeemer. And if they hate my Redeemer, they hate the Father. And it says you will be hated and reviled. He tells us that we're going to be persecuted and hated for His sake. And when He says, you who love your life will lose it, because He's talking about the life in this world and a life in the next world. Not only are you going to lose your life in this world, because all the things that you love in this world are going to burn up, but you're going to lose your eternal life as well. And He says, but to those that lose their life, they shall have everlasting life. And it doesn't just mean to be killed here. That is going to happen too. But if you just give up all this idolatry and worldly things and teach and preach as an individual and live your life according to Yeshua's teachings, and others see this in you, you will have eternal life. You have to pass this on to others. Somebody told me about Yeshua Messiah. Now I'm telling others. Because that's what Yeshua commanded us to do. Go out amongst them and tell your other people, your other Israelites, about who Israel is. Wake them up to their own identity. Wake them up to who their Messiah is and who their divine being is by using the holy names. Now, sometimes you'll have to use the word Jesus because they've never heard the name Yeshua before. And you'll have to refer to the Lord and then tell them about the changes in the Bible where the name of Yahweh has been taken out and the Lord substituted, that it's only a title. Teach them. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Speak from your heart to their heart. give them the information that you have received. You don't have to be eloquent. A man speaks to a man like a brother, the other man's going to listen. These people are your brothers and your neighbors, your kinsmen. Love your neighbor or your kinsman as yourself. Don't have any other mighty one except Yahweh, and love your kinsman as yourself, and pass on the holy word to your kinsman. Because you should love him. Even if he's disagreeable, even if he's not perfect, all of us are not perfect. All of us. We all fall short. But we've been given this holy gift of redemption through Yeshua Messiah. What a prize. What a wonderful thing that Yahweh has done because he loved us. Bulls and goats weren't getting it done. Putting it off for 1 year wasn't getting it done. So he manifested himself as a man and surrendered his life to cover over our sins with his blood for all eternity, if we accept that. And then we have to change, because you don't get redeemed unless you repent of the life that you are living here. You have to change your ways and obey the Torah and the teachings of Yeshua, who taught Torah, and come back to the worship of Yahweh. Call upon his name, not the Lord, not God, the name of Yahweh. And pray in the name of Yeshua, and he will hear it, because Yeshua is the mediator between us and Yahweh. And if you truly believe and you're changing your life to match these words, Yahweh will hear your prayer. But if you're worshiping on the day of the sun god, Yeshua said you worship in vain. If you're calling upon the name of pagan god, the Lord, that's not Yahweh's name. So he said you worship in vain. It means it's worthless. He's not hearing you. Let's get to the references for chapter 34. For verse 13, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 21. For verse 17, you can reference Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 4, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8, and chapter 27, verse 15. On verse 18, you can reference Exodus chapter 12, verses 14 through 20, and Leviticus chapter 23, verses 6 through 8, the book of Numbers chapter 28, verses 16 through 25, and on verse 19, you can reference Exodus 13, verse 2. On verse 20, you can reference Exodus 13, verse 13. Verse 21, you can reference Exodus 20, verses 9 and 10. And chapter 23, verse 12. And chapter 31, verse 15. And chapter 34. 5 verse 2, and the book of Leviticus 23:3 and the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5 verses 13 and 14. That's all for verse 21. Verse 22, you can reference the book of Leviticus chapter 23 verses 15 through 21 and 39 through 43. And the book of Numbers 28, 26 through 31. Verse 25, you can reference Exodus 12, verse 10. Verse 26, you can reference the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14, verse 21, and chapter 26, verse 2. Verse 34, you can reference 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 16. So that ends chapter 34. Now, tomorrow on Friday, we're going to get into chapter 35. And it is also a lot of construction details. So we're going to do 35 and quite possibly 36 tomorrow. And they are construction details, so they ought to go rather quickly. And there's not a lot of notes or comments, but there are some interesting things, as there are interesting things in all of Scripture as to the construction of what they were doing. They were going to begin all of this with Bezalel being the master craftsman. So I say to you right now, thank you for listening in. My stuff can be found on YouTube. David James website, Eurofolk Radio, and TalkShoe. And Camp Shar's got a website at Yahweh's Followers, and my stuff is on her website as well, in chronological order. So Yahweh bless and keep you, and I say to you, Shalom Aleichem, and I will see you tomorrow on Friday. Good day.
Onward. Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the